Well, I hope you have a happy day playing with those presents or opening some more. Of course, we give presents at birthday as well, but Christmas is such a special time because we're all giving presents at the same time and receiving them, which is a bit different to birthdays and other times. So it's a great day to celebrate. And as well as being thankful for Jesus, and that's why we're particularly met together, it's a great day to be thankful for the many other good things that God gives us and to enjoy them together and to be thankful for our families and the generosity of our families and to be thankful that we, generally speaking, live in a safe place and have many things to enjoy. We normally have hot and cold running water and we normally have electricity and we're very grateful for that. And also, it's a great day to really practice the contentment we were thinking about a few weeks ago. That we enjoy good things that God gives us, we're happy with them. Whether we get a big present or a small present, we're able to be contented in Christ. And it's a really important day to model that as we spend time together. We're going to sing again a well-known carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. Let's stand and sing. And we're going to read now from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, from verse 46. Luke chapter 1, from verse 46. It's page 1026 in the church Bibles. Mary has received a visit from an angel, and the angel has told her that she's going to give birth to a son. He's going to be called Jesus. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. He's going to be the one who fulfills the promises made to David, and he's going to reign forever and ever, and his kingdom will never end. She can't understand how that could possibly happen, but she eventually gets to a point where she believes. She goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who surprisingly at her age is going to give birth. She's going to give birth to John the Baptist, as it turns out. And as she visits her, and Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you who believe what the Lord has said." Mary bursts out in this song, it's recorded for us in this poetic form here in verse 46 of Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." And then Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Upside down pictures can be a little bit tricky to recognize. Who's that? Children. Very young children. Yes? It's Santa, Father Christmas. Here's a slightly more tricky one, especially if you're one of the children. Child, anyone child do that? Some of the adults are even frowning. Let's work our way up to the teenagers then. Teenagers know who that is? Okay, let's have the elderly then. Anybody then? Tony Blair. He's upside down in Australia. And children again, this one. I thought these were like dead easy. Okay. Anybody?
Beyonce.
Beyonce is the one on the, whatever you call it, left or right, depends whether you're the right way up or not. And who's the one on the right of Beyonce? Not Amanda, anybody?
Oh, X Factor
winner. Sam something or other, Bailey, there we go, the right way up. Things are much easier to see the right way up, sometimes things can seemingly be a bit upside down, and then they're completely transformed. And really, Sam Bailey's life will be transformed, even if she's only a one-hit wonder and sells a few hundred thousand records at Christmas and is never heard of again and goes back to being a prison officer. Even if that happens, her life certainly has been changed. She is known by more people than most of us will ever be known by. Her image is on the internet more than most of our images will ever be on the internet. However much we repost ourselves and like ourselves on Facebook, we'll never be on there as much as she has been in the last week or so. And really, what Mary says in this song that she sings, or this outburst that she gives, which is put in this poetic form for us, what she's saying is the coming of Jesus turns everything completely upside down. The world is being turned upside down with the coming of Jesus. People's thoughts about what should happen are being turned upside down. Maybe your thoughts this morning need to be turned upside down in thinking about Jesus. Mary sings, it's hailing now, just in case you need a commentary on the weather. It's hailing, it's going to make a loud rattling noise on the roof. Mary sings because she believes. Elizabeth's clear on that. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said will be accomplished. She believes, and what does she believe? She believes that she's going to give birth to a son, and the son will be a king, and the son will be a savior, and the son will be the Son of God, and will reign forever. He'll be like David, but not like David, because he will reign forever, and he will fulfill the promises made to David. She believes God is sending a savior. She believes that because of that, her thoughts about the world are being turned upside down. Her world is being turned upside down, and the world will be turned upside down because of the coming of the savior. She thinks about herself, and she calls herself a servant. She says, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And you probably know often when the Bible uses the word servant, it's actually using the word for slave, a bonded slave. Now, she wasn't literally a slave, we don't think, but what she's saying is, me, a humble, lower than low person, my world is going to be transformed. It's going to be completely turned upside down by the coming of the Savior, by the coming of Jesus. God has done great things even for me. Even for me, he's done great things. And of course, it's the way God always works. As she says in this song, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. She's thinking, now I think about it, God always works in this dramatic way, showing mercy to the humble, lifting up those who are downtrodden, reversing the fortunes of people. He did it in the past. He did it in rescuing his people from slavery in Egypt. He keeps doing it because he's a great and merciful God. That's how he's always worked, bringing mercy to the humble and to the hungry. You see that in verse 52 and in verse 53. And at the same time, bringing down people who think they're so great. So, the end of verse 51, he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Verse 52, the beginning part, he's brought down rulers from their thrones. Now, of course, she's just been told she's going to have a baby, but she's thinking through or being inspired to think through all that meant. And what it would mean would be a reversal of everything, really, of human order, of those who are proud and those who seem so stable and those who seem so in control, losing everything, and those who seem so humble and downtrodden, being exalted and lifted up. God reverses things. God completely turns things upside down, and he does it because he's keeping his promises. That's how she ends her song. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. You see, Mary had figured out, she had been led to understand that what was happening with the birth of this child was the coming of a savior, was the coming of a king that would turn the world upside down and would keep the promises that God had made. Promises to Eve, promises to Abraham, promises to David, promises to his people over the centuries that he was going to send a saviour. He's keeping those promises on this day as Jesus is born. The virgin's going to bear a son. The son will be God. The son will be saviour. And he's going to rescue everyone who comes in humility. God can reverse your fortunes this morning. Let's just have a think. Three questions to ask as we think about this song. Three really simple questions. First of all, what do you see? What do you see when you look at this story? I've tried to explain very quickly what Mary saw. What do you see with the birth of Jesus, with the story about Jesus? What do you see? Some things are not quite as they seem. Let me show you this picture. What is the lady doing in this picture? One of the children tell me. What is the lady doing? Apart from being upside down, what is she? Smiling or frowning? Come on, Nathan, help me out. Is she smiling or frowning? Or Barney? Oh, Barney, sorry, I didn't see your hand was up. She's smiling. Does everyone think she's smiling? Do you know this one already? Well, you see, if you turn her around, she is, in fact, frowning. It does look a bit like somebody we know, doesn't it, who died earlier this year. But I don't think it's particularly supposed to look like her. Sometimes things are not quite what they seem. And maybe the Christmas story is a little bit not quite what it seems to you. I don't know what you actually think about it, what you see when you see the Christmas story. Do you see something that's very familiar? Do you see a story that's heartwarming? Do you see a story that's good example to us? Do you see a story that's great for the children? Do you see a story that's just a myth that's been combined with all kinds of other myths and made into what we call Christmas? Is that what you see? And is that all you see when you look at the Christmas story? Because you see, Mary looks at the Christmas story and she sees that the winners will become losers and the losers will become winners. Those who seem to be the winners, those who seem to be the rulers, the successful, the proud people will become the losers. But those who humble themselves and recognize Jesus will become the winners. And God will completely reverse their fortunes. And really it's to do with what you see when you look at Jesus. What do you actually see this morning when you look at the story of Jesus, when you look at Jesus? Do you see a quaint story that might be true? Or do you actually see the Saviour of the world, the King of all the earth, and the one who is your judge? I encourage you, I invite you, I warmly call on you this morning to see the one who's the Saviour. Otherwise, your world will be turned upside down, but in a way that will not be pleasant and will not be enjoyable. Because in the end, God will bring down those, and maybe you're one of them this morning, who's saying, I don't want to know about Jesus. Mary says those who are proud in that way will eventually be brought down. And those who humble themselves and say, I'm a nobody, but this amazing news is that Jesus has come to save people like me. Those who are humble like that will be lifted up. That's what Christmas is all about. And what do you see when you look at that? So what do you see? Secondly, how do you feel? How do you feel about Christmas? I'm sure lots of the children are really excited about Christmas. I'm sure... Did you have your hand up to answer something? No? Okay. I thought you might answer how you feel. I'm sure you feel happy, don't you? Yes. And lots of the children will feel happy this morning. We're especially excited earlier on. Lots of the parents will probably be a little bit excited about the presents, a little bit anxious about, I don't know, the meal or whether the presents are liked or whether the family get on and all those things. But that's not so important how you feel about today. But how do you feel about Jesus coming? Mary was slowly realizing that the coming of Jesus was such a transforming thing that it was going to make her so happy. Of course, in her life, as it turned out, There were quite hard things to endure, especially as Jesus dies. But on this day, and really ultimately, she is deeply joyful. And she expresses that the way this song begins. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. She, in the depths of her being, is so happy because of the coming of the Saviour. She feels it really deeply. Her soul, her spirit, right inside, she says, I am so joyful. I am so praising God because of the coming of the Saviour. How do you feel about the coming of Jesus this morning? How do you really feel about it? Lots of other things going through your mind right now. How do you feel about the coming of Jesus? Deep down, are you joyful about it? Are you happy about it? Are you rejoicing because of it? You know, you can't get the right emotions by singing a few songs that kind of rouse your kind of external emotions. You can't just tell a few moving stories. You can't beat yourself up this morning and say, oh, I don't feel very emotional about the coming of Jesus. I wonder why that is. All you can do is do what Mary does and understand the cosmic proportions of what's going on. Understand that God's sending a Saviour. When you really understand that, like Mary obviously has, when you really understand it, you can't fail to be excited. If you think it's a pretty average thing that's happening, then really it competes with all the other average things that's happening in your lives. And particularly today, how could it possibly compete with all the excitement? But if you don't think it's an average thing, if you think it's a cosmic change to the fortunes of men and women all throughout history, then you'll think, pretty exciting. Even the most British and cold and restrained of you is going to feel a little bit of rejoicing if you really think God is sending a Saviour. And this is a joy that you can feel the whole year round, a deep joy, an inside joy, a joy welling up at all times because of the coming of the Saviour. How do you feel this morning? And then lastly, what do you see? Children, what do you use a magnifying glass for? Somebody, you have a go because you didn't have a go last. Yes? Make things bigger, yeah. Does anyone of you children have a magnifying glass at home for fun? Yeah, you two boys do, yeah, and quite a few others. Yeah, they're quite fun things to have. I sort of have a magnifying glass. I have a pair of glasses that I'm supposed to wear. Sometime this coming year, I will have to wear glasses, and you can all laugh at me, okay? But it's just a pride thing that I'm still just about managing not to. But they're kind of magnifying glass things. And magnifying glasses and those kind of things make things bigger, like this ladybird on this picture. And really, when Mary begins this song, she says, my soul glorifies, or my soul makes bigger, magnifies the Lord. That's how she begins. And the great reversal that she understands and the feeling that she has, they lead her to say this, I want to make God bigger in people's view. That's what she's saying. Of course, just like a magnifying glass, we don't make God any bigger. You see, with the insects that are there, we don't make the insect any bigger, do we? It's the same size. But when we take a magnifying glass, we make it look bigger. And what Mary's saying is, I want to make God look really big. Of course, he's not like an insect, tiny, minuscule, and needs to be made big in that sense. But in the way we use language, what she's saying is, I want to make God really big in people's view. I want to magnify him. I want to glorify him. If I was a spotlight, I'd want to shine it on him. That's what I want to do, because I really feel emotional about what's happening, but I want to direct that towards God. And who does your soul want to magnify today? It's interesting. It's what the angels do, isn't it? They say, glory to God on high. It's what the shepherds do, actually, when they go to see the baby Jesus. They leave the place praising and glorifying God. They don't say, oh, clever old Mary. They don't say, clever old us finding it or anything like that. They say, Let's give glory to God. Let's praise God. And so does Mary, and so do the angels. It's our fundamental problem, and it will be our problem in the year ahead. Who will we give the glory to? Will we give the glory to us? Will we shine a spotlight on us? Will we make the performance us? Or are we going to put the spotlight on God? Are we going to put the spotlight on what he's done? And what we're trying to do just for a few moments this morning on your Christmas day is encourage you to put the spotlight on God. And of course, all of God's purposes are centered in Jesus Christ. And we're celebrating today his birth. Who do you want to magnify? Who do you want to make big in other people's view? What do we want to do as a church in the coming year? Surely what we want to do is understand that God is changing things completely for people who humble themselves. We want to feel it. We want to sing with joy every week, not just feel joyful a bit on Christmas morning. And we want to make God big in people's view. See, Mary sings because she believes. She sees that God is the God who turns things completely upside down. She feels it deep inside, and so she praises God, and she wants to glorify God. What do you want to do? What do you see? How do you feel? Who do you want to magnify this morning?